Well, look at this. A snake in the birdhouse.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, looky. Look who it is.
You made it.
That's right. Vacationing Corby.
I bailed on you last week.
You did. How was vacation?
It was good. It was good. It was pretty chill. And I don't know about y'all, though. Like, I have like a week. If it's more than a week, I start to get antsy.
Yeah, it's a lot. Yeah. We tried to hold it down 3 to 7 last week.
Yeah.
We had fun.
We did. I'm ready. I get ready. I'm ready to come back. Now, once I retire, I think I'll have a different mindset. But if I'm still working, then I'm ready to come back.
It's time to get back and talk sports.
All right. Convince Donnie and Matt to jump on the Severance bandwagon.
I love Severance.
What's that?
It's a TV show on Apple. It's phenomenal.
He says, it's been so long, but we're finally getting a new season in January. I need more of my leaders discussing this wonderful show.
I've never even heard of it.
I didn't know they had a release date for season 2.
They just released it, that it will be a 3-year gap in between season 1 and season 2, officially,
yeah,
I believe,
forever.
Something like that. Yeah.
It's phenomenal.
So, this is a Ben Stiller joint. Ben Stiller directs it, and it's about these people that their work lives and their home lives are completely separate, to the point of when they enter in their work place, they get on the elevator like we do every day, and then the elevator strips them of their home life, personal life, consciousness. They don't even know what that is. So when they go into work, all they know is they're the work person.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they get off the elevator or go up on the elevator, it's the opposite. They turn back into their home life, so they don't
forget all about work.
Well, the problem becomes, and this is kind of towards the end of season 1, you see this play out. The problem becomes the people in your brain, they never leave work. So those people, all they ever do is live their entire lives for 8 hours a day in this cubicle thing, because their memory has no memory of ever leaving that place. So they start to go, you kind of see the effects, and they're like, I don't want to be here anymore. I don't want this to be my life.
Yeah, that would be weird.
Yeah, and their personalities are different. Work personality and home personality, and the work personality is like, wait, you've learned that these people are so different on the outside, and they want out.
Yeah, because, like, I mean, think about this, because it'd be like if all you ever knew was your outside life, you never work. Like, you just, I never go to work ever.
Yeah, they have no stress.
Right.
So that's the point of it. You separate yourself from your office job, and that way, yeah.
So wasn't it like the guy's, his wife died, right? And so that's why he decided to do this, because he didn't want to have any memory of that or something?
Yeah. It's really
brilliant.
Really good.
Okay.
Like,
awesome.
Really good. You need to write that down. I guarantee a Twiggy would like it too. You have to get through like 2 episodes before you're like, wait, what is going on here?
And man, once you get in on it.
Oh my God. It's a wild ass ride.
Can't wait for it to be back.
Yeah. And Ben Stiller is
Ben.
He's great. Okay, I got a couple of people saying this, and I don't know if you guys mentioned this or if this is one of these workplace things that people are talking about. But it was, should we get rid of Olympic basketball and replace it, instead of having, you know, Germany playing France and Slovenia playing Canada, should it just be Team USA versus Team Europe? Like we do,
like
in the
Ryder Cup.
Just like the Ryder Cup. Because remember, the Ryder Cup used to be the United States versus Great Britain until we won every year, and it got old and there was no point in doing it. And so then they expanded it to Europe.
That'd be interesting, because then it would be, Luka would be with Giannis and SGA and whoever.
Right.
They'd all be on one team. Ooh, that'd be fascinating.
Yeah,
they'd
but
win. The other team, the European team would win.
I just think that it kind of defeats the team aspect of those guys being around and playing 3, 4, 5, 6 years together. I get it. I understand. But I don't think the USA is so dominant now that you'd have to resort to something like that, because Spain always has a good team, and Argentina.
We're a 4-year cycle away from getting beat.
Right.
Yeah, it's very close.
Right. It's way closer than what everyone would like to think. So
at some point,
I do agree that that would be very interesting, I just think that, you know, the pride.
They did it every 2 years like the Ryder Cup, and it was not Olympic affiliated. Just, hey, it's the.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
You know why? Because the U.S. basketball players wouldn't do it.
That's true. They wouldn't.
That's just too much commitment. right? Like yeah. every 2 years you're doing it. Then you've got like the FIBA World Games and things like that. If you paid them, I think it would be fascinating because I think Europe would.
I think we'd lose.
I mean, dude, I do too.
Honestly,
it's a lot, but I think you get into some of the issues that USA basketball had before. Yeah, you could take a lot of really good basketball players and put them on one team, but if they aren't playing as a team,
yeah.
then you'll see it.
Your and center, that's why your European center rotation of Wimby and Jokic,
damn,
right?
Yeah,
and Rudy Gobert, just throwing him in there as a third guy.
Like I said, with SGA and Giannis and Luka.
You'd have your elite defenders because Dort is Canadian, isn't he?
Dort is Canadian.
Yeah.
It'd be fun to watch.
It'd be cool. And you'd have one team that just constantly bitches nonstop at the refs. And so the Americans are just going down and scoring a lot.
Just complain on every call.
I would watch that way more than I would the Olympics.
I'd watch it
over Puerto Rico versus
because
the USA.
You are an elitist American and you think America is supposed to just beat everyone because okay, and that's
well.
Not
well,
the case.
Like, did you see? I mean, this was like a blurb a couple of weeks ago that I saw for 1 second and didn't think of it. But I didn't even know this was a thing. Like our under 18 football team got beat by Japan
in football. Yeah,
in football, Japan.
But again, it wasn't
Japan.
It wasn't our elite of elite.
Well, what? You would think that like the ninth stringers could go over there and beat Japan, but the thing is, we can't. We're not as great as we think we are.
The world is catching up.
In everything.
I know.
Japan would kick our ass in baseball.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I keep telling you guys.
No, I'm
with
you.
It's closer. This is going to be fun. You have to put eyeballs on it.
Okay.
We're not as dominant as we once were, and that's fine.
I'm going to watch that and swimming.
Okay.
If the price for Donnie to place a bet is to eat mashed potatoes slathered in gravy, does Donnie place the bet?
It's according to what we're betting on. Seriously.
When's the last time you experienced gravy?
Probably sometime by mistake. Because if I don't say no gravy and then they bring it, I'll just eat it because I know that I've made the mistake. But, man, I try to avoid it. Just own nothing.
So even as a kid, when Thanksgiving or whatever, you wouldn't even try it?
Don't want it.
It just looked bad.
It's terrible. It looks terrible. It's terrible.
Legend.
What if you just ate it and you closed your eyes and you didn't know that you were about to eat gravy?
Well, yeah. And then when I put it in my mouth, it's blah, blah, blah.
So you like the texture. Out.
Yeah. What is a? Is there anything that's a similar texture to gravy? That's kind of
soup.
Yeah, but that's more viscous.
Yeah, like white gravy is.
It is a gross concept, dude.
Brown gravy is liquid.
Thick liquid.
Yeah.
Don't look at me.
Meat pea. And
meat
pea. What? Yeah, that's what gravy is. It's meat pea. And
meat
we
pea?
Have to have. We need to normalize restaurants putting everything on the side. Why are you in control of what's on my salad, what's on my chicken fried steak, what's on my hamburger? You don't know what I like.
No, you're right.
So why do, if I order a salad, you just dump all the stinking salad dressing right in the middle of the salad?
I agree.
You don't know if I want that much.
You need your own. I agree with you.
Do you put everything 100%. On a
hamburger? No. No tomatoes.
Okay.
I don't even want them around.
What about you?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, I'm not a mayo ketchup person, but I...
Yeah, but I mean, like lettuce, tomato, onion, pickle, all that.
I like
that.
All that stuff, yeah.
I do too. So what age did that start?
Man, that's a good question.
Because
for a long time it was just meat and bread and cheese.
Yeah, or mustard and ketchup or whatever.
You know what started me on the everything on the burger route? The Big Mac.
Really?
Yeah.
I wonder if that's
like
the first
Thousand
time
Island
I had.
On your stuff.
It was. I didn't care. No. I just wanted to tackle the Big Mac.
I used to hate tomatoes, but now I'll eat them. And I don't know why.
See, I think it's when you, for 90% of human beings, it's when you, like, post-puberty, your palate changes.
Sure.
Like, things change, and you're more open to things like that. But definitely, I remember, because I would go, my fast food jam was Wendy's.
Mm-hmm.
And I would get a double with mustard and ketchup only. That was it. That's all I would eat.
Really?
And then when I turned like 15 or 16.
I think lettuce is always the first step with
a
bird.
I gotta pay attention to this because my son is like that now. He's 13. And he, if we go get chicken nuggets, whatever, he only uses ketchup. I'm like, you don't want to try these sauces?
No.
He's like, no, I don't want that.
Right.
I'm like, come on. He's like, no, you can have mine.
Yeah.
And I wonder, it's gotta be about to change soon.
Yeah.
And even
the next couple
of
years.
On the burger, just let me control how much sauce I'm putting on everything. You don't know some people may love just plow mustard on there. I mean, just the whole entire bottle, and that's fine. But some just may like a little taste.
But then fast food, if it's fast food, then that turns into,
there's a backup.
Yeah, but in
that's
a restaurant, it takes too long.
From the people sitting there in front of you trying to get it.
If you just make the burger and you put the ketchup and mustard and mayo on my tray, I'll put it on there myself. What's backing everything up?
I just think that they have an assembly line where, I mean, you know the drill for fast food.
Just leave the sauces out of it. And you'll go
all
faster.
Of it. Okay. I see what you're saying. God, you're so high maintenance.
It's not high maintenance. It's just,
it's logical.
I'm mad. Oh my, you know what? I'm going to open up a restaurant and you know what the name of it is going to be?
On the Side.
On the Side.
Yep. I love it.
I do too.
And I love it. Everything's on the side.
I'm like, this is great. I just got a piece of meat. Now I got to get my bread and all these other things. And you can piece it together.
It's wonderful.
Wasn't Fuddruckers kind of that way?
Yeah, kind of. It was. Had everything you could get it however you wanted. And man,
it's
so
gone?
Popular, it went out of business.
Yeah, it's. Do they have any? It works so well.
Well, maybe I need to rethink my business model.
I thought Fuddruckers was, as a kid, the most magical place in the world.
It was the best.
What happened to it?
I don't know.
Like, literally, it's gone? No more?
No, there's some. Well, apparently they still exist in Texas. There's one in Austin. There's none in North Texas.
Wow, man.
Houston has a couple.
It's very disappointing.
Lubbock has one. Midland and Odessa have one. Man, that's wild.
Let's pool our money together and open up one.
On the Side.
On the Side.
Like Donovan, I'm also going to Vegas this upcoming weekend for a Whitechapel wedding. In your professional opinion, what are the must-hit spots for a first-time Vegas goer?
Well, man, it's just so different for everyone. I don't know what you want to accomplish.
Yeah.
That's why it's so much. That's a really hard question to answer. Because.
All right, for the gambler.
The gambler is just, you walk around to every different casino and you just try your luck. For the gambler, I would go Fremont Street. I'd go to the Golden Nugget.
The old school.
Old school, smoky.
Cool place.
It's.
You get to really experience
exactly.
Crazy stuff. And you can walk to the arts district where the breweries are.
What about for the club guy?
Oh, man, there are so many different options. It's about what, you know, they have clubs that have hip-hop rooms. They have clubs with the traditional house music. Just, I guess you have to look and see who's going to be there. But every single hotel feels like they have a club that's going to thump. There's not a club out there in the casino that you'll go and say, man, I don't know, I just didn't have a good time. They're always going to be crowded.
Yeah.
They're always going to have the music loud, the DJ's going, so you just can't go wrong.
What was the brewery that we went to the first weekend down there you took us to?
Abel Baker?
I can't remember. We were there pretty late, though.
Oh, no, that was the craft beer bar.
Oh, yeah.
The Silver Stamp.
That was cool.
Yeah, that place is a totally different vibe.
Yeah.
Very chill. Where it was like we were like in a 1980s basement or something like that. Yeah, it's called the Silver Stamp. Definitely worth checking out.
I like to get the old-timey feel of Vegas. So if you wanted to go to a show, I would recommend Absinthe, which is awesome. I didn't think I'd like it. I went to the show, and it is incredible.
And then we did the last year the swim up pool circa.
That's a
really cool experience.
And it's right across. You go to the Golden Nugget for the old
pool. It's all downtown.
And then you go to the stadium swim thing at Circa, and you can just get the best of both worlds.
And Fremont Street sports book is insane.
It is.
Oh my God.
And then they have the zip line that goes down Fremont Street. They always have bands playing on the outside and the performers and all that.
You don't have to tip them 100, by the way.
Yeah.
No, you don't. But that's a fun experience that people get so fascinated with the strip. And I was one of them that the first time I went down to Fremont Street, I went, whoa.
Yeah.
Heck, am I not going down here more often? And I try to make my way down there every single time I go to Vegas.
Weed is legal there.
And weed is legal there.